2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, the Bible says, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Let's pray together. Father, we pray that you would add your blessing to your word, to our hearts tonight. And Spirit of God, we pray that you would gain our attention, that we might put our eyes upon things above where Christ sitteth at the right hand of the Father. And Lord, that we would remember some things. And Father, we are sorry that we're so prone to, in our busy life, to forget the things that are important and not meditate on all that you've done for us. And help us, God, as we stop for this moment in time as a church to remember, Lord Jesus, what you've done for us. And we weren't there that day, but through the eye of Scripture, we can be there. We can see and understand what you've done for us. And may we remember these things, and may we look in our own hearts, and may this be a time of closeness between your people and yourself. And we'll thank you for that help, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Peter writes this second epistle. We already preached through 1 Peter. This is his second epistle. Of course, and he says, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you. You know, real love is giving people the truth of God. Because Peter loved them so, he says, you're beloved, and that, for this reason I'm writing these things unto you. If he didn't love them, he wouldn't take the time to let them know what God said. And true love is not giving someone their way, but true love is giving them what God said, what they need to hear. And Paul and Peter begins to write, and of course in the first epistle it was much about suffering, but it was necessary for them to hear. In this epistle it's been about their growth in the Lord and yet the time of apostasy that they're living in. And they needed to hear all these messages, but he loved them. And he loved them, we know he loved them because he's given them the truth. And we know that God loves us because he's given us the truth. And he has gone to great lengths to give us a copy of the Word of God. So even though we weren't there with Christ, we weren't there with the apostles, we have their words. And we do know what transpired. He said, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Peter says you need to be reminded of some things. You don't need a new truth or hear some new thing. You need to be reminded about something that you're already aware of. Jesus said, this do in remembrance of me. And we are so prone to forget. We're so prone to live our lives with our minds outside of being on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and on the things that we need to have them on. I don't know about you, but forgetfulness is a trait that occurs more and more the older you get. And Peter just says, I want to just stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. I want you to remember some things. Wouldn't it be good if we would remember how God first saved us and what that day was really like? Wouldn't it be good if we could remember how God brought us up out of that horrible pit and how He changed our life? Instead of just living our life, if we could stop and just remember some things. In 2 Peter chapter 1, would you look there? Because over and over again, he uses this word remembrance. He said in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet as long as I'm in this tabernacle to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Verse 15, moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. Don't forget. And it's not new things that you need to learn. It's just the things that you know to be true that God has already showed you that you need to roll back in the curtain of your memory and bring it before your mind's eye and your heart and remember the goodness of God as we preach this morning and remember the life of the Lord and how God's taken care of us and the mercy of God and remember our salvation. Remember that which God has done for us. Stir up your pure minds. Almost like He's trying to wake someone up, stirring them up from sleep. We ought not be apathetic in the way we think. Our minds shouldn't wander. A lot of people's minds, I don't know what they're for. They don't think and consider very many things. Our minds are not to be put into neutral, but they're to be actively remembering and working and thinking and meditating on the things that God has done for us and has for us. He says, I want to stir you up. You know, Paul, one day he was in Athens and the Bible says that his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. He sort of woke up. He got excited. His mind, his heart was stirred up. The Bible says God wants to stir up our minds out of our slumber, out of our sleep, out of our apathy. He wants to stir us up out of our deadness. God deliver us from a dead Christianity, from a stagnant Christianity. From a stillness in the waters. We want those waters to be stirred up in our heart and our mind. The things of God are not old. Your mind and heart might be old, but the things of God are not old. They're new and fresh and powerful every day, every morning. But many times our minds aren't on that. Peter said, I want to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. You know, really only a pure mind is a mind that can be stirred up for God. God doesn't stir up dirty minds. God doesn't recall the things that are important to the remembrance of those who fill their minds with foul things and filthy things and the things of this world. God says, I want to stir up your pure minds. You already want to be pure. These people that he preached to in 1 Peter about being holy, and he went through all that. They already had a desire to be a pure people, a holy nation, a peculiar people. And so God is going to stir up their minds and put in their minds what they need. God help us to let God take out the impurities there. So you can't remember anything God wants you to remember if it's on something dirty. Tonight, we're going to have a time of, as God tells us to examine ourselves and look in our own hearts. And you know what the truth is? A dirty mind just can't focus on God. A mind that's not been purified just can't concentrate. Now, I know some young kids, they can't concentrate because they got ants in their britches and all that kind of stuff. But I'm going to tell you what, there's some adults that can't concentrate on the Lord either, can't remember the Lord, can't focus their attention and their mind on God. And it's because of all of the other junk that's in there that needs to get out. And that's why this time is. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. So we can look in our own hearts and minds and say, Lord, I want these impurities out. I want the impurity out of my mind. I want it out of my heart. I want to be clean. I want to be in fellowship with you, because until I am, I can't commune with you. I can't fellowship with you. I can't remember you like I need to remember you. I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Look at verse 2. What did he want them to remember? He said in 2 Peter 3:2, that ye may be mindful of the words. Not mindful of God's message. That is a perverted view of the Scripture. He said, I want you your mind to be full of the words of God. That is the wheeze and the delivered and the vanity and the escape and the perish and Lord and beloved and willing and remembrance. These are words. He said, I want your mind full of the words of God, not just the message of God. God never inspired a message. He inspired His Word. God didn't preserve a message. He preserved the words. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words, they're not going to pass away. These are the words that will be here when the world's on fire. And God says, if you're going to be mindful, if you're going to fill your mind up with anything, fill it up with the words of God. Memorize the book. Read the book. Think about the book. If your mind's full of Fox News or Xfinity or whatever, I don't even know what to do today. You fill your mind with everything but the Bible, but the words of God. You're going to lose out on so many things that God wants you to know and to remember. What is your mind full of? You see that? That you may be mindful. You know what God's mind's full of? Hebrews 2:6 says, "What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him." You know what God thinks about every day? He thinks about you. Now that's an amazing thing. He could be thinking about the nebula and the galaxies and the stars and the planets and how deep the ocean is and the fish that are way down in the sea and all the science that holds our world together. But God says, I tell you what I fill my mind with. I fill my mind with man. I would think there's a whole lot more, a lot better things that God could think about than man. But He loves man. He gave Himself to die for man. And He fills His mind with you. He's interested in how many hairs are on your head. I don't care about that. You don't care about that. God cares about that. What are you thinking about, God? You're sitting up there in heaven. What do you think about all day and all eternity? I'm thinking about you. What is man that thou art mindful of him? My mind is full of you and your life and your struggle and your heart and your sins and your needs. And I'm your high priest and I'm your shepherd. And I just think about you all. Jesus thinks about us all the time. He ever lives to make intercession for us. Not only he just thinks about us all the time, he talks about us all the time. But I wonder how much I talk about him, or how much I think about him. As Isaiah said in Isaiah 17:10, you know, God is often forgotten. He's not remembered. And if there's anyone that we should fill our minds with, it should be the Lord. But I bet you, if you would take a little survey, if you could do that, of all the things you thought about through the week, I wonder how much God would fill the tank. He says that ye may be mindful of the what? The first thing, of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Now the Bible tells us we need to remember the words. We need to remember the words of the Old Testament prophets, the holy prophets, the holy men that spake as they were moved by the Spirit of God. And that's why we know that all the Bible has to do with us. It's all written for our admonition because the Bible tells us to remember what those holy prophets said. That's why we go through the book of Zechariah, because God wants me to remember what God said through Zechariah. Through the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. So the words of the apostles were just as much the Word of God as the Old Testament prophet. Before Peter ends his second epistle, he's going to talk about Paul's writings in chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. And he says that Paul is writing the Scripture. The apostles of our Lord, they are not just saying things that their idea, that it's their ideas or their opinions. They are giving us commandments of the Lord and Savior. They're writing this book by the mouth of God, and the words of those apostles are just as much the words of God as the words of Christ in red. You know, in this text, he didn't even say to remember the words of Jesus. He said, remember, be mindful of the words spoken by the holy prophets and the commandment of us, the apostles. Now, the Bible does say that we're to remember the words of the Lord Jesus. In Acts 20:35, and also 1 Timothy 6:3, that we need to remember what Jesus Christ said when He was here. But we're to remember what the apostles said. You know, all these people say, well, yeah, I've got a Bible, a red letter Bible, and these words that Jesus said are more, they're not any more important than what I'm reading right here. Now don't let that make you nervous. Because you see, all of them are His words. The words of Jesus Christ, the words of God, are not just the ones that Jesus spoke. It's the whole book. They're all His words. They're all just as much important as the others. And so if it's the holy prophets, if it's the commandments of the apostles, or if it's the words of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, I need to be filling my mind with that. Instead of filling my mind with twits. Right? Or social media. Nobody cares what kind of toothpaste you have. You know, if some people would know the Bible and know God as much as they knew every other little insignificant detail in life, they wouldn't have a problem in the world. God said, would you please fill your mind with words? What else am I to remember? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we're heading toward our communion time now. We're to remember the words of God. But he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he says in verse 24, and when he had given thanks, he break it and said, take, eat. 1 Corinthians 11, 24. Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. He says the same thing in the end of verse 25. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26. Ye do show the Lord's death till he come. He's wanting us to remember his death. Remember him. You remember when Joseph sat in prison, and the butler and the baker, he gave them their dreams, told them their dreams. And when they were leaving to go see Pharaoh, and as he sat in prison, he looked at him and he gave him one message. He says, when you come to Pharaoh, would you remember me? Just remember me. Isn't that strange that next to the cross of our Lord and Savior was a thief that also had the same words that said, remember me. And yet Jesus, before he went to that cross, he told us to remember him. Remember what I'm doing for you. Remember how deep a cost that this is. Remember how I've entered into the very prison house as Joseph and bore burdens that were not my own to save much people alive. I've borne it all for thee. Remember that I took your nails. Remember that I took your spitting and your shame. There was nothing shameful about our Savior, but He had to endure my shame and your shame. He had to endure my nakedness and your nakedness. He had to take my sin and your sin and take my guilt and your guilt and the wrath of God and the wrath of the devil and the wrath of man. And He says, would you just please, in your busy schedule, stop and remember what I did for you? No one ever paid a higher price. No love was ever any deeper. No heart was broken any greater. Jesus said, all this I did for you. I love you. I paid your price. I'm redeeming you. It wasn't me. It was for you. And you're going to enjoy the salvation that I bring. And I'm going to pay the price, and you'll never pay the price. You'll never go to hell. You'll never be in torment. The Father will never forsake you. Because I'm boring it. I'm bearing it all. But could you just please remember that? Could you just please stop and think about how I bore your shame and sin and death? When I didn't have to do it. But I did it because I love you. One look at Calvary, and you can hear so clearly like no man has ever heard in the history of the world. You can hear somebody say, I really love you. think about that. In your mind's eye, picture it all. I tried to do that. I went to Jerusalem. I went to Israel years ago, and I tried to go. I went to the place where they said was Gordon's Calvary, and I tried to imagine it in my mind and just lay there and remember what Christ had done for me. But that shouldn't be an event in my life because I went to Jerusalem. He says if you're in Corinth or if you're in Ephesus or if you're in strangers scattered abroad or you're in Rome, all around this world, just stop and remember me. I tell you what, church, every other thing of our life will pale in consideration if we would remember the Lord's death. There's one other thing he tells us to remember in 1 Corinthians 11. I've already mentioned it. I'll just mention it briefly. He says in verse 27, 1 Corinthians 11:27, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Then he tells you what it means to take it unworthily. Verse 28, but let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. You know what else God tells us to remember? He tells us to remember the things that are in our lives that we need to judge, because he says, if we would judge ourselves, verse 31, we should not be judged. And God says, I don't want to judge you. I want you to judge you. But listen, church, we can't judge ourselves if we don't remember what we need to judge ourselves about. You know, there's never been an examination where somebody didn't have to remember the answers. But let a man examine himself. That means you've got to have some recall of the answers to the test. Tonight, you all get to take a test. And the test is for you to look in your own heart and remember what needs to be confessed, what needs to be forsaken, what needs to be purified. You may say, well, preacher, the Bible tells us in Philippians to forgetting those things which are behind. Yes, we should forget those things that are behind that are under the blood. But right here, God tells us that we need to examine ourselves and remember some things that we need to get right with God. Maybe remember a thought that went through your head that you never went to the Lord and confessed and had the blood of Jesus Christ cleanse you from that thought or that deed or that action. You know how many things we do that are wrong we just forget about? We just forget about them. Some people treat people terribly, and they just forget about it. They say things that they should never say, and when they say that, they just forget they ever said it. But the hurt's still there, you see. And there's a host of God's people that do things, and they never stop to go examine their heart and remember in their heart and their mind those things that I need to bring up before God and get right with Him that are hurting His heart, that are grieving Him. David said, search me, O God, and know my heart and try me and see if there be some wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Lord, I want to remember what I have done that has caused not a smile on your face, but a grief of heart. I want to know. Help me to remember, Lord. I'm examining myself. I'm trying to remember the answers so that we can come to this time of communion with sweet fellowship, with good fellowship, and I can be what you want me to be. And I can remember how you want me to remember. So we get to have an examination. Remember the words, remember the Lord's death, and remember in my heart what I need to judge that nobody else knows about. And the great thing is, we can judge ourselves, and it's taken care of. There is not a sin or a fault or a break of fellowship with God that can't be cured in 2 seconds. And that's why he says, I want you to remember me, but I want you to remember you too.